I'm really excited to be speaking about this morning because this is so close to my heart. Missions. We started now this month thinking about one of our core values in our church, which is mission. And I have heard the name or the word mission for over more or less 25, 30 years now. I grew up in church, I went to Sunday school, I then became a leader in my church, I led youth ministries, and everything we did, everything I'd done involves an aspect or something about mission. And we are called to mission, the mission of God, God's mission. The late John Stott said that God is a missionary God, that Jesus is a missionary Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is a missionary Holy Spirit. And I will not do it today, but maybe if we got a seminar sometime during the year, we can walk through the Bible and see and reflect that God's purposes for humanity is global. From Genesis to Revelation, we see the mission of God, God's own heart, multiply and increase in number. And at the end of the book of Revelation, you see the new city Jerusalem with a beautiful tree with leaves that are for the healing of the nations. From Genesis, I mean, you go to the historical books, you go to the New Testament books, and you go to the epistles, Paul's writing, and you will find the heart of God that is about mission. God's mission to us. God's mission to the church. And this morning, I want to briefly talk and encourage you and us to think about mission. It is not something that we do. It's who we are. And let me explain that. Let me go with that. It is not something that we do, but it's who we are. Let me get there. Let me talk to you. Let me motivate you this morning. Here we have in Matthew chapter 28, at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, and Jesus is given his last teaching. He's looking at his disciples. And we have read, and it says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. That's amazing. That is not a mistake. That is not a, you know, something written on it just to make it nice. Because at the heart of what we do, at the heart of who we are a worshiping community. We are a worshiping community. That is why I honor, I love worship. What we do here is to worship the one and only God and Jesus Christ and his Spirit. I'm going to close the door behind me. Sorry, because I think somebody's looking. I don't know what it is, but I just felt up some cold air. Sorry to disturb you. That's it. God is a missionary God. And what we do here is to exalt the name of Jesus. Worship is at the heart of what we do. A mission should be birth and worship. Mission should be birth in what we do here, in our hearts, resonating with the heart of God. And this is what they did here. They worship him. But also some doubted. Isn't it interesting? They were not sure whether the Messiah was the true one, the only one. And then Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. They were on a mountain, given this last new command, very similar to Moses when God gave him the commands for the people of Israel. The parallel are there for us to see. They were in a mountain and Jesus gave them this last command. Go and make disciples. Go to all the world. I love mission, as I said, and I'm standing here before you as a missionary, really. My church back home sent me to the nations. And I play a part in it because you know this already. When I was 19, 18, I became a Christian when I was 17, more or less. I gave my life to Jesus and I said, Lord, take me to the nations, and the Lord answers prayers. So watch out what you pray. And the Lord just closed every single door in my life and opened one, which was the ship ministry, the Logos 2. And I was there for almost 2 years and a half. And I pray, Lord, send me to the nations. And he did. And I am here. And I'm grateful for that church who had a vision to reach the nations, Not only that, they did it pretty well. They were so mission-minded. They had outreach around the community. They sent people in Chile, to the south of Chile, to do church planting. We were being obedient to the call of the Lord. Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. This is huge. This is powerful. This is Jesus saying to his disciples, I have the reins. I am king. I am the Lord. I have all authority, not just on this earth, but in heaven. So when we do mission, we know that we have someone mightier than anyone else in the world and in the heavenlies saying to us, go. Authority and power goes together. And in saying go, which is imperative, he's saying to us, I've given you my authority. I have given you my power. Now go and make disciples to all nations. You are coming in my name. You are coming because I am sending you. This is not optional. This is not, well, I feel like it or not. This is imperative. And what is he saying to us this morning is, church, body of Christ, we want you to be missional. Missional in all the areas of your life. And then he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make volunteers. Did he say that? I don't think so. He didn't say, I'm gathering a group of volunteers who are coming with me to change the world. I don't know what happened to us. I'm not saying about this church. I'm talking about the general church. We are looking for volunteers to fill gaps. We're not looking for disciples. It just struck me the other day. I was hearing about missional communities and I was speaking to people about, you know, how do we get people involved? And then it dawned on me. It is, I think, maybe because we're asking for volunteers instead of disciples. Disciples. We want disciples. This is why he commanded us, disciples, to be in love with Jesus. Disciples to be apprentices of Jesus. Disciples who make disciples. This is biblical. Imagine if Jesus would turn around and would say to us, I need you to volunteer a couple of hours to pray for me. I don't feel like it. Well, he didn't say that. He might ask you, would you like to do this? Because in doing so, I will reveal myself to you, and you are becoming like me. Do you remember last week when I spoke and I said, in this world, we are like Jesus? That's John chapter 4. Sorry, 1 John chapter 4. We are not called to make volunteers to fill the gaps in our church calendar or in our church activities. We want disciples. We need disciples who make disciples in Sunday school. We need disciples who make disciples serving to provide flowers in the church. We need disciples who make disciples with our catering team. We need disciples who make disciples with our mothers and tots. We need disciples who make disciples in our alpha courses that we're going to run. We need disciples who make disciples in our worship and tech team. We need disciples who make disciples with our creative team, worship and prayer team. We need disciples who make disciples with our committee and session. We need disciples who make disciples in our food bank. We need disciples who make disciples in every area of our church. In every single area of our church. We need disciples. We are not volunteers. We are disciples of Christ. We are disciples. That's who you are. That's what I am. He called us to be his disciples. And then he said, he commanded us to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. And baptism, simply, it is this. It is to identify ourselves with the death and resurrection of Jesus in a public way for all of us to see. We are making a declaration to the world that now we are no longer part of the old self world, but now we are the people of God. And we are his children. We are his. To baptize them in the name of the Father who loves you, in the name of the Son who has saved you, in the name of the Holy Spirit, who empowers you and sanctifies you and makes you to be like him. Because in this world, we are like Jesus. Not only that, baptism is a welcoming, saying you are welcomed into the community, the covenant community of God. And it doesn't matter whether we sprinkle, baptize them in water. I don't mind, to be honest. Don't quote me in that, okay? But seriously, what is the most important thing is that you are becoming part of the family of God. You're not just a volunteer. You're a disciple. You're a disciple. And then he says, teach them to obey everything that I commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Teach them to obey. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is the sign of obedience. Faithfulness. He says, teach them to obey. To obey what? He's teaching. Let's start with the gospel. Who is Jesus? Why did he die? Why he resurrected from the dead? What is the kingdom of God? Why did Jesus say that the kingdom of God is at hand? How did Jesus validate the preaching of the gospel? Can Jesus heal? Can I have faith? Can I pray? How can I read my Bible? Do I need to join the church? Can Jesus free us from the penalty, shame, and guilt of our sins? Can Jesus deliver us from demonic oppression? Can Jesus forgive us? Can Jesus give us eternal life? Can I be his disciple? How can I know the love of God? Who is our best teacher? How can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? Can we know the true God through Jesus Christ? Can we know the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ? Can we live a life that pleases God through Jesus Christ? Why is Jesus called the Messiah? Emmanuel, Prince of Peace, Lord and King. Is Jesus coming back? Why Jesus' teaching has such a powerful impact and authority and power over the ages? Teaching them the whole counsel of God. My friend, this is it. This is it. We are a community given power and authority. And let me express this in another way. You see, it is okay to have authority. But if I don't exercise my authority, you know, I'm not actually exercising the power that I've been given with that rank or that authority. If I have power without authority, then it's useless. It becomes, you know, totalitarian in many ways. But you and I have the word go, go, and go. Go and make disciples into all nations. And we need power. And we need power. And no wonder Jesus knew this. And that's why in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, if I can find it, go to my Bible. Do you know what Acts chapter 1 verse says? Verse 1 says, I should know this by memory. And you will be my witness. Here we go. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. We got the power. We got the go. We got the green light. We have his authority over us. Do you know, and with this I'm going to finish, do you know how do the PCI and many other churches, I'm talking about our own denomination, do you know how we measure success? Okay, let me tell you. Three things we measure success. How many people are coming every Sunday? How many people are coming every Sunday? How many people are filling the pews? That's one. Second, what's the size of your building? And third, how many contributing families do we have? I don't know about you, but this concerns me. This really concerns me. Because prove me if I'm wrong, okay? I'm teachable, right? But I do not see the success of a growing church by how many people we have on Sundays, by how many contributing families we have, or how large is the room. You know what? I know this because I have to do this with my previous church. We were given forms to do this. And we struggled. We struggled massively on this one. The sign of a growing church is to obey the Great Commission, is to make disciples, is to go into our Jerusalem, Samaria, and Judea, and into all the earth, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, is to bring joy to our communities. The other things, yes, are important, but not as important as this call of the church. This is what Jesus said to us. We are not just numbers. We're not just givers. We are disciples who makes disciples. We are the people of God for this generation. And what I'm saying to you is nothing that Jesus suddenly realized and thought, ha, I got it now, I'm going to say this to you. This is rooted in the very heart of God, and we know it because, as I said to you, you can look from Genesis to Malachi, and it is there, and that is why we have these amazing words from Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among nations. May the peoples praise you. That's worship right there. May the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the people with equity and guide the nations of the earth. Again, may the peoples praise you. Worship at the heart of mission. May all the peoples praise you. The land will yield its harvest. God, our God, will bless us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will know him and fear him. What is the face of Jesus? What is the countenance of the Lord? It is the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us that the glory of the gospel is the glory, shining face of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to mission. I want to invite you to be excited. I want you to be a disciple. A disciple who loves the Lord with all our hearts, with all your heart. I'm going to tell you one story. And with this I finished. Promised. So Matt Redman and Kerry Job are in town. And we got given free tickets on the Tuesday night, so I had to run to watch them. And I got late to the second part of the concert. I didn't speed, actually. Helen, you should know that. So I got there on time, and I didn't know where I was sitting anyway. So all I knew is that we were in the guest list. Cool that, you know, guest list. Amazing. So we were there, and I just... asked one of the attendants, I don't know where I'm going, but I know I got a ticket. This is how specific I am, right? And can you help me? And then, I don't know, where's your row? HA? Oh, we got about 3 HAs. So, oh my word, okay. And then suddenly another lady came up, heard the conversation, and she said to me, I think I was speaking to your wife. Right? And I will take you there. So, lo and behold, we were sitting on the second front row. Amazing. There's Matt Redman there. Denise was going wild because she loves Matt Redman. Right? And I know Matt because he comes from somewhere in the south of England, near where she was born or came from. And I could not contain myself. I could not. Suddenly, I found myself at the front of, you know, in between the front row and the stage, in there, dancing my way around. And I was going for it, man. It was like, you know, I can't remember the song, but I was like, Jesus, I was dancing. And my, you know, I spoke about Asman many times. Asman was next to me. And Matt Redman said to us, come forward. And I was already there, right? And I was like, whoa, Jesus, dancing. The music was great. I was like in another place, worshiping Jesus. And I knew, I was aware there were about other 4,000 people watching me, right? And a lot of young people, and this baldy guy here with another old guy, you know, dancing away to Jesus and like being in a concert, but for him, for Jesus. Huh, lo and behold, this week I met somebody who said, you were that nutter who were dancing on the... and I said, yes, wasn't it wonderful? I was, that was the best compliment I had the whole week. Really, it was like so good. And then I looked into this person's eyes and I said, you need prayer. And suddenly, Holy Spirit broke out and she was touched, reconnected to Jesus. She was healed emotionally. Tears flowing. Amazing. From being crazy, I don't care if people see me, a disciple who's not ashamed to be seen dancing away, who's sometimes bridging the gap of, he wants to talk to you, he wants to minister to you, because you are not a volunteer, you are a disciple. And you are loved. And you are loved. And you are loved. And you are loved. You belong to the Father. You belong to the Son. And you belong to Holy Spirit.